Only 4 minutes. Daredevil Fic, written by Snowy Owl 102 and read by 42 Do Not Panic. Summary. An alternate origin story for Matt Murdock, a series. It had been 3 weeks since Matt had found his dad in the alley. The scrapes from the damp asphalt that bit at his knees were healed over, but the memory would flash through his brain. The freezing cold, the shock of the rain, the taste of copper. Everything became restless. He couldn't focus at school, couldn't eat around people, and barely slept due to the constant barrage of dripping red nightmares that filled his mind. He'd heard the nuns talking over him, saying they'd get better soon, that he'd move on from this phase. Their words were at odds with reality. If anything, he was getting worse. He was trapped in a waking nightmare, one that had him jump and start at the slightest noise or shout or sudden movement. Sharp squeaks of shoes across wood veneer, thuds and bangs as toys and books impacted the aged stone floors. The mundane sounds of children growing up set off alarm bells in his head and made his chest tight. At least he could rationalize those noises. He could dissect the sounds and attribute them to their sources. Thuds of uneven footsteps on stone followed by a skid, like chalk on gravel, and a child's cry roved together and created the story of a carefree childhood. The whispers were harder to place, but knew they couldn't be actual people. The hissing notes that overlapped each other like dancing snakes, crashing over him and drowning him in constant noise. He tried as hard as he could to ignore them. Then, when they grew too harsh, when they were laid so thick he felt buried by them, he tried to block them out. He'd cover his ears, hum, rock, then scream when none of it worked. Whatever he tried, he could still hear the voices of hundreds of people as clearly as though they were standing right next to him. Even in sleep, they never stopped. Like the sound had been injected, reverberating through his bones, a never-ending hurricane of words pounding through his skull. Months later, the nightmares were less often, but still as vivid. His nightmares began to stray from the alley, shifting between cramped buildings as he was mobbed and crushed by the hundreds of people, whispering of thoughts, sins, and reprimands. The nuns had moved him to his own room, a disused office on the other side of the orphanage. Matt couldn't help but listening in on conversations between them, though. After this long, they didn't make much effort to speak low. The phrase, attention-seeking, was thrown around liberally, without care as to who overheard. After many nights running back and forth, the nuns wordlessly agreed and stopped trying to comfort him. The next day, he met Stick. The old man was strange. He didn't bother to censor himself, but even in front of the nuns, he'd hurriedly stammer the conversation to its end. Stick, as he'd introduced himself to Matt, swore freely and frequently. He wasn't one to treat people as equals. He believed that he, and one day Matt too, were a tier above everyone else, an evolved form capable of more. He wasn't like any priest or pastor Matt had ever encountered, and he made no effort to act like one. Matt soon learned that Stick didn't hide behind pleasantries. His words were often targeted, precise, and happier to berate than encourage. Matt found it difficult at first. Bruised ribs and sore muscles protested all movements he made. He quickly learned to hide his winces and whines in front of the nuns as well as his cantankerous mantra. Many nights, he found himself tossing and turning, not because of nightmares, but because his training left him with so few positions of comfort. Matt knew not to bother the nuns with any of it. After countless nights waiting for someone, anyone, to ease him back to sleep, he knew bothering them was a useless pursuit. Sometimes Stick made his lessons impossible. Matt found himself hesitating as he tried to work out which response was correct, to which he'd receive a punch to the gut or a thrust to his back, before starting again from square one. Matt had learned enough to map out spaces without walking through them. He could tell different surfaces from one another, a far jump was based on the air's movement, and learned to register lies based on heartbeats. He could discern the presence of someone across a room from someone in another room, from someone on another floor. He could work out how many people had been in a space and roughly how long ago they'd been there. He'd learn when to defend and when to attack. He knew how to identify his opponent's weakest points and how best to strike them. He'd come so far, he was almost as smooth as Stick. Movements conditioned, concentrated, and powerful. Until one morning, Stick was gone. Matt was so sure there'd been a connection there. Not the love between father and son, but a kinship, a friendship even. He was wrong, of course. He sat on his bed, careful not to jostle the bruises on his back as he curled up on the mattress. Stig had spent months teaching him how to use his abilities to their maximum potential, teaching him how to be a warrior. Stig had been gone 5 minutes, and here Matt was, curled on his bed, face wet with tears as his body racked with silent sobs. There was no point wailing. No one came anymore. 3 days later, St. Agnes was shut down.